Okay, welcome everyone. This is our third class of these four sessions. And let's start with some deep breaths into the belly. And then, so we'll just do it all together. And release all tension on the out breath. And one more time. Let go of any tension. One more time. Okay, just breathe normally and let go of any tightness in your body. And as best you can, and close your eyes and straighten your back as best you can. And if there's any area in your body that is drawing your attention, any kind of tightness or pain or an emotion, go to where that is and just focus on that for a bit without trying to change it in any way. We're just observing what is there, not trying to push it away or pull it towards us. Just let it be as it is. If you have any resistance to this area, just notice that the resistance is there. And then go into or notice the essence of that, whatever it is. The more subtle essence of it. Just explore that for a bit. What is this area in the body made up of? Can you feel its essence? Maybe it's a temperature, maybe it's warm, or it's cold. Maybe it's changing or it's not changing. Maybe it has a color or a shape. Texture. But it has more subtle aspect to it. more subtle than shape or texture or color. Can you just rest with that subtle nature, that essence? Can you just rest along with it? And let it dissolve if it wants to dissolve. And if not, let it stay as it is. We're not trying to get anywhere. I'm not trying to accomplish anything, including healing the body. I'm just observing. Now rest as that essence. As if there is no separation between what you call you or I and that area, that tension or emotion or pain. Can you rest as the essence of that? Can you let go of the observer and the observed? Can you let go of the separation? And let the subject and object melt together. Later, you can go back to subject and object. But for now, we're just letting them melt together. So it is all one thing. It is all just one. Unified. Whole. Go deeper into this unified wholeness. just relax and let yourself fall into it. Thoughts come up, that's okay. Just notice that. And let it go on its way. Go back to the wholeness. We're not excluding thoughts. The thoughts are a part of the whole. But we're not focusing on thoughts. We're only focusing on the whole. retain the wholeness. When there's no separation, there are no thoughts. Thoughts only come about with a thinker and that object of the thinker. And so when we focus on the whole, we quiet the mind. And to quiet the mind is to awaken. Awakening does not happen without the silence of the mind. You can say, I am, to bring yourself back to the wholeness. Keep bringing yourself back to it, and that is enough. That is the practice. fight your thoughts is a losing battle. The personal identity can't get rid of the thoughts because it is a thought. It is the thinking mechanism. And it cannot kill itself. It will not. Do not try to extinguish your thoughts, to get rid of them. You can just include the thoughts in the whole. Just include them as part of the whole, the unified self. And that will take care of everything. And then you won't have to try to chase them away. You can ignore them if you want, entirely, because they're not necessary for you to be what you are, nor are they necessary to act in this apparent world. Within this wholeness is everything you could ever need or desire. In the wholeness, you lack nothing. All is here now, and all is taken care of for you. Because you are that. takes no effort to focus on the whole. It's just a decision. And that decision is available. In each moment, in each moment, we can choose separation consciousness or wholeness. This is the only decision that ultimately matters for our happiness and well-being. It takes no effort to be what you are already, because you are that already. Why would it take effort to try to be aware, or to try to be mindful of what one is? It's nonsense. It is just a decision. Practice, the more we know that that decision is available to us. That option. within the wholeness there is unlimited love and compassion. Meaning you identify with others, with all that is, because it is all included within the whole. Call this identification with the all love. And complete ease. And bliss. Happiness. These are all just names for aspects, for experiences of the whole. Perceived by a consciousness that seems separate, but is not. Bliss that comes from maintaining oneself as the whole, as unified, is extraordinary and also contagious. can affect all those around you quite immediately and profoundly. Spread this bliss intentionally, but it will spread even if we don't intend it to. Just by being as we are. Take your time. To wiggle your fingers and toes and slowly come back into the room and open your eyes. I want to talk about this quote goes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And anyone know who said that?
It's in the Bible.
Yeah, it's Jesus. I don't talk about Jesus or the Bible very much in this class. But I do like some of the things that he said. And this is one of them.
Could you say it again?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, it sounds kind of funny, like, shouldn't we be abundant in spirit in order to awaken? Shouldn't we have more spirit? Why should we be poor in spirit? So, Meister Eckhart was a 13th century Christian mystic who talked a lot about this idea. And it goes along with the via negativa, which we've been talking about. And the via negativa is used in probably all the major spiritual practices that I have come across. And so this quote has something to do with the via negativa, or the way to awaken through the negative aspects versus the positive aspects. So in the Christian traditions, they talked about knowing God by knowing what God is not, by trying to understand what God is not, and then we get to know God, because God is not a positive thing. It's not a thing that you can know with the mind. In the Christian mystics, who are very similar to a lot of the traditions of Buddhism and also Vedanta, focused on this aspect of the negative. In Buddhism, they call it emptiness. And with regard to this specific quote and to what Meister Eckhart taught about practicing and understanding what awakening is about, and learning what's useful for ourselves in our own way to awaken. Poverty in spirit means basically we don't possess anything. We possess nothing. So we possess nothing, we desire nothing, we aspire to nothing, we are nothing. We're not really nothing. I'm not saying we are nothing, but
yes,
I am, but no, I'm not. Anyway, I forgot to say this at the beginning of the class. Please don't believe anything I say. I only intend to present things that you might consider pondering for yourself, that you might consider exploring on your own, they're not to be taken as literal or as fact. This is all about you. It's not about the words that come out of my mouth. It's about your path, your understanding. And we all have our own inclinations, ways of learning, and ways of understanding, and words that we like and words that we don't like. So I'm not here to say this is this and that's, you know, that's that. I'm only here to present ideas for you. So that said, the via negativa, as it applies to this particular quote, is about not owning anything. It's about not possessing anything, like a beggar doesn't own anything. He relies on others for everything. A beggar has nothing, basically. They're just on the street begging for their food. And so why is this important to talk about this understanding of, and why is someone who's poor in spirit, why do they have access to the kingdom of heaven? When we let go of everything, including our personal identity, and especially that, when we let go of all that, what is left? And what is left is the kingdom of heaven.
It's presence.
It's
presence.
It's presence.
It's just being. Yeah.
It's just being, yeah. That's the kingdom of heaven, yeah. Exactly. It's what's in the background, the awareness that is always there, that is the background of everything, that is always here, always. And ultimately, it is all that is. And so, when we let go of the appearances, when we disown or disidentify with the appearances of the awareness, that which comes through the awareness and makes an appearance on the screen like a movie, when we let go and we see that, oh, it's just a movie, we're just watching a movie, and we're aware that we're watching the movie, like the screen being aware that there's a projection going onto the screen. The screen is just blank. It doesn't have any characteristics to it. It's just a blank screen. Yet without it, there is no movie. Without the paper for the ink to go onto, to be typed onto, there are no words. There is no book. So you have to have the negative in order for the positive to exist. They coexist, right? And the via negativa is all about the paper or the screen. And that's what we are. And so the idea of spiritual poverty is not to be poor in our spirit, it's to be poor as in not claiming this body as me or my possessions as mine. And it's not about going and getting rid of all of your stuff and trying to get out of your body. It's just the mental attachment to these things that we need to disown. In order to discover what we are, to let go of the appearances in order to see what is there, supporting all the appearances. Where do the appearances come from? What is the origin of the appearances? From a personal, practical point of view, I like this quote because it helps me just to let go. Of whatever it is that I'm holding on to. And so I thought maybe it would be useful for you guys. So hopefully. So we have a few minutes left. Are there any questions or comments or anything you guys want to talk about? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's one thing I didn't mention. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since I'm a kid, that I go to masses or funerals or things, and that's one of the quotes that stays more.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For a long time, I didn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
Because poor of spirit is in Portugal, has to do with people that are dumb.
Uh-huh.
And then it asks, point of saying something like that.
Ah, right. Uh-huh.
And but lately, the funerals I've been going, they say that.
Oh, do they?
The priest says that, yeah.
Once. Oh, interesting. Okay. Uh-huh.
It's one of the main Catholic
parts
that comes
right.
in. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly in what part or what prayer, but they say.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
Yeah,
yeah,
it has to do with that, with pride. And
yeah, letting
wanting
go.
To achieve something, or wanting to be something, or wanting to get to something.
Yeah.
You don't have that if you... Basically, if you're poor of spirit, you don't... You just are. You're just there.
Right.
You're just being. And you're not attached to becoming something. Because you also supposedly lack pride in that.
Yeah. Yeah, right, absolutely. 100%.
It's really a hard one.
It's a hard one, why? Why is it hard? You just said it.
It
looked
yeah.
pretty easy.
Huh?
It looked pretty easy to me.
What?
You're talking about it. It
talking
seemed pretty easy.
Talking about it is easy. That's not the point.
What's hard about it?
To let go of pride and absolutely let go of your identity with anything or wanting to achieve anything.
Oh, I see. All right.
And
yeah.
just assume you're...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not an easy one. But I feel a truth in it, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
But... Might be one of the hardest those things to be.
Maybe, perhaps. It also has to do with what we talked about last time, which was divine ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowing that you don't really know anything. Which is also part of the via negativa, in my opinion. Knowing that you don't know anything, is that difficult?
No. Relatively. No. In the great scheme of things.
For me, it's pretty easy.
Shit.
To be ignorant is pretty damn easy.
In some situations.
And that is knowing that you don't know anything is because everything you do know is based on a construct or something.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mind.
Yeah.
Which is not what you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that has to do with the personality, the personal identity, but not ultimately with what you are.
Since what we are is basically just a consciousness that is empty or
knows everything.
It's in a different way, it knows everything. But yeah, it's all, they could say it's all knowing, or omniscient, you heard that word, right? It's omniscient, omnipotent. Why is it that? Because it's the whole. It's everything. And so, you're talking about, what was your statement? The personal identity. So what you are, you were saying, is empty consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
So, right. It's has an emptiness quality to it, because it's not the appearances. So we call it empty, because it's it is not the appearances that are happening or the points of view that are happening within it. And so, personal identity has to do with points of view. You could say that the personal identity is a point of view within the vast expanse of consciousness or awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The I, like when I say I, that's just one point of view, and then I build all the other points of view on top of this one I point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that happens to me is happening to this I, which I'm assuming is here, that there is an I here that is a personal identity that has a body and a mind. And that's all based on an assumption that is ultimately not true.
Mm-hmm.
When we go looking for it, we can't find it. It's not there. The I is not there. It just exists as a thought, right? Or point of view.
Yeah.
So what happens, where does all that come from, you know? It comes out of the awareness. It comes out of the whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I find it interesting. I sometimes think about it as a sensation, just as you can sense other things, like you can see things or hear things or how those appear in consciousness. But
yeah.
The construct of self, or like that feeling of self, is also just an appearance in consciousness, just as those things are.
Exactly.
But the point of view analogy is actually also interesting to think about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's. I sometimes don't use the word emptiness because people get scared of it. They think it means that nothing exists. Of course, it's not true. We are all here having this experience. So It doesn't mean that we're not having this experience. It just means that this experience is not inherently existing. It doesn't exist on its own. It's just a projection of the awareness or a point of view within awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's possible that you can misconstrue this and think about nihilism and, get on the wrong track of thinking, and it's happened to people that I know, and it's also happened to me when I first started out. So I just want to acknowledge that. Yeah.
By thinking it of as emptiness, that you can go into the path of nihilism or misbehaving.
Yeah, you can get stuck in that, that concept of emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that nothing is actually here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then kind of like the no consequence.
Yeah.
But that's why the nihilism direction comes in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No consequences and a desire to kill, get rid of yourself because you don't exist, so what does anything matter?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things can come out of that that are destructive. So, and it's not true, because we all know that we're here having an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. It is true. Just how we think about it is usually the opposite of how it really is. Even though it's really happening, it's the it exists or it happens differently than we are taught that it happens. Because we're taught with the paradigm of science, or at least how scientific communities used to think about things. Now they're a lot closer to what the wise people have been telling us for many millennia. But we don't know that because we're not exposed to it normally. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Let's stop here.